Back before I joined the army as a chaplain, when I was working in a parish church in Romsey, I had a phone call one Friday evening from a care home. A family had requested a priest to come and pray and anoint their mother who was dying. And so I quickly drove home to grab some oil and a prayer book, and I headed straight towards the care home. When I arrived at the care home, one of the care assistants showed me to the room, and there I found a lady called Sylvia lying on her bed with her youngest daughter beside her. And Sylvia was unable to speak. She was breathing softly and had a morphine driver to deliver pain relief. Her daughter in that moment felt helpless. There was nothing more that she could do for her mum apart from wait by her side, and nothing more that could be done medically either. And so she looked at me as I entered the room, perhaps looking for help, wanting to know that she had done everything she possibly could do for her mum, who she cared very deeply for. We spoke briefly about her mum, and then I conducted a short service, anointing Sylvia's head with oil and offering with her final prayers. She was not able to respond to the prayers, and I was unsure if she could hear or even understand at this point. But when it came to the point of the prayers where I asked if she would turn to Christ, I decided to ask her if she would like to hold on to a small wooden cross that I had with me. At this, her small hand slowly opened, and I placed inside of it the cross. Then she closed her fist tightly, holding on to that cross with all her remaining strength. Shortly after the prayers had concluded, I sat with Sylvia and her youngest daughter. And shortly after this, the oldest daughter arrived, pleased that she had arrived in time to say her goodbyes to her mum. And she noticed her mum holding something in her hand. And she said, "Mum, what is that in your hand?" And again, this small little hand unraveled to reveal the wooden cross there. And after briefly looking at it, she placed it back into her mother's palms and watched as the fingers curled around it tightly. Then, holding on to that small closed fist with her own, she said her last goodbyes to her mum. I left at this point to allow the daughters time alone and space to be with their mum to say their final goodbyes. And Sylvia died shortly after I left. I met the daughters the next day, and we spoke about their mum. They told me stories from their childhood, memories of her that they cherished, and about her final years and then her recent declining health. They told me also how she had held on to that small wooden cross tightly until the very end, never letting go. The sisters also asked then if I would take the funeral service for their mum. We buried Sylvia the next week, and we buried her still holding that small wooden cross in her hands. The reading from Luke's Gospel that we heard this morning records the final moments of Jesus' life, but also the final moments of two others. Two criminals sentenced to death by the Roman authorities, one on his left and one on his right. And they each show two different responses to Jesus. One of them mocks Jesus. "If you are the Messiah, then why don't you save yourself and us?" The other of the criminals rebukes the first one. He accepts his punishment. He knows he has done wrong and getting what he deserves. And he can see that Jesus was innocent, and he fears God. And so instead he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answers him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It could be easy for us to think that it's too late for us to turn to Jesus. It's very easy for us to think perhaps that we've done too much wrong, or we've not done things enough rightly. Soldiers will often joke with me, "Padre, I can't come to church because I'm set on fire," or "God wouldn't want me there, I've done too much wrong." But the truth is that Jesus doesn't accept us because of anything we have or haven't done. He accepts us because of what he did by dying on that cross for us. Our reading from Colossians told us, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. It is through the cross of Jesus that we can find forgiveness for all we have done wrong, and we can be made right with God. Like that repentant criminal and the dear lady Sylvia, we need only to turn to Jesus, to hold on to the cross, and we also will be welcomed into Jesus' kingdom. Our opening verse of scripture today from Galatians reminds us that not only do we find salvation by Christ's death on the cross, but that Christ lives in us now. The power of the cross not only reconciles us to God for eternity, but it reconciles us to God now. We can live by faith. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And through Christ, we find ourselves being transformed. Corrie ten Boom famously helped shelter Jews during the Second World War. She had built a secret hiding place in her bedroom behind a false wall, and which could hold six people. She had gathered stolen ration cards and had worked with the Dutch resistance to smuggle Jews to safety. In all, it is estimated that her and her sister Betsy saved over 800 Jews during the Second World War. She and her sister were eventually caught and taken to Ravensbrück concentration camp. Her sister died there, and she was only released by a clerical error. The real intention had been to send her to the gas chamber. Corrie ten Boom was a devout Christian all her life. Her faith had given her strength in prison. She had even acquired a Bible there, which had been smuggled in, and she had held services of worships with the other inmates. Years later, Corrie became a public speaker and began sharing her story with others. There's a video you can find online, which I recommend you to track down, where she shares the story of an event that occurred one day after addressing a crowd. After sharing her story, she was approached by a man who she instantly recognized. It was the man who had tortured her sister Betsy. She was horrified to see him and had found herself frozen in her tracks. He asked her, "Will you forgive me?" Everything in Corrie's being wanted to say no. She wanted only to hate this man who had embodied such evil, this person who had been so cruel to her and her sister. She felt in that moment that she did not have the strength to forgive him. She felt that she could not do it. And so she prayed to God. She prayed for the strength that she did not have, the strength that she needed to forgive him. And at that moment, she remembered Christ's death on the cross for her. It was because of the grace of God and the power of the cross that she found the strength to grasp his outstretched arm and to forgive him. Forgiving that God, like her Father in heaven had forgiven her. She describes how she felt God's love in a powerful, transforming way. It was a love that not only redeemed her, but had changed her life. The transforming power of God's forgiveness can overcome even the greatest of challenges. And it was a message that she never stopped sharing until the day that she died. She held tightly onto the cross. When she had no strength left, she trusted in the strength of Christ in her. So let us all hold on to the cross, trusting that through it we have found salvation in Christ alone, and through it we find our lives transformed now. Amen.